Hello, friends. Welcome back to another episode of Be Here for a While. Today's episode of Be Here for a While is brought to you by the very delicious and healthy cereal Magic Spoon. Check it out. Gonna give you a promo code. I'm recording this from lovely Rugby Rock, Colorado, Aguilar, I don't know. It's in the middle of nowhere. I'm on my boyfriend's ranch. It's gorgeous. But if in the podcast you happen to hear, you know, some random wind sounds, it's because we recorded outside. But it's going to be beautiful. Very exciting. Before I get to the podcast, Seven Deadly Sinners has my other podcast, the true crime one, that if you're not listening, what are you doing with your life? We have some very exciting announcements coming soon for that I can't wait to tell you about. But please go over to wherever you listen to podcasts and subscribe, rate Seven Deadly Sinners 5 stars, and please leave a positive review, because I probably put in about 70 hours a week of work on it. I don't know if that's an exaggeration, but it's a lot. And I'm really, really, really proud of it. And I'm really proud of this podcast. So thank you so much for listening. You guys are the best. I love chatting with you on Instagram. And now I've started chatting with you guys about Seven Deadly Sinners too. So that's great. A warning though, last week's episode is very dark. But it's good. And if you like true crime, you probably kind of like things a little bit dark. All right. Well, now to the podcast. My guest today is one of the most beautiful humans. He was a fast friend and now feels more like family. We discuss what it's like being a gay black male during this time. What it's like to be fetishized. That's a new one I'd never heard. Just his struggles with coming out and how wonderful his life is now. And Greg, my boyfriend, also chimes in here and there. So without further ado, give it up for Andre Peterkin. Andre, thank you so much for doing this and for visiting Greg and I in not the most comfortable of circumstances.
Thanks for having me.
So we are here. We're outside recording, outside of Greg's container home he's building, which is going to be beautiful, but it's still in the building process.
It's very contained.
That's a great way to put it. I think you meant small. But isn't everything small when you're close to 7 feet tall?
Yes, honestly. Yeah, it is, honestly. And you have to worry about ducking your head and not hitting door frames too. So it's an intense life, but reaching the top shelf has its perks.
Yeah. I was like, when Greg was, well, I knew you wanted to come and I really wanted you to come visit, but I was nervous where I'm like, I don't think this is going to be comfortable for him. Like, I don't know how to explain to him that this is like camping.
Which I've never been. So thank you for the first time.
Really?
Experience.
Oh, I've look never at been that. Camping.
It's supposed to be a taboo. You actually, black people aren't supposed to go camping.
Really?
With white people, yeah.
What do you mean with white? Why can't you co-mingle in the camping? Is that really a thing?
It's something my dad told me. Don't go camping with white people. And I was like, why? And I was like, well, the whole story is just like, it's like a lynch scenario.
Oh, I see. It's dangerous. All right, got it. That's fair.
We're glad to be breaking norms.
Yeah.
I'm like super. This is your inaugural camping trip.
It
is.
I know.
The container.
Yeah.
Very contained.
I'm container. So honored right now.
Yeah.
A very contained container. But we didn't even make a fireplace. I wish we had a fireplace.
Well, if you stay the night tonight, we can.
It's not too late.
Okay, so we met Andre in kind of like the strangest way to make a friend that quickly. But for some reason, like, we just became friends instantly. So for my listeners, so basically I met Andre. We were staying at the hotel that he worked at. It was me, Greg, and Sabrina was like the first time. Yeah. Okay. So he basically was the guy that checked us in at the hotel, worked at the front desk, but we instantly became friends with him. Like, you and Sabrina had like a major.
I'm in love with her. She's.
Like, if you were.
There was a spiritual connection instantaneously.
Yeah, I saw her out there, and she was wearing her black hat and like this yellow ensemble. And her black jeans and some heels, and I just walked out there. I was like, "Oh my god, you're gorgeous!" And she's like, "Oh my god, no, you're gorgeous!" And I was like,
"You are gorgeous." Well, so is she.
She's stellar. I love her.
Yeah, but so we basically became instantaneous friends. Where then the next time I saw you there, you had said that you and your boyfriend had broken up, mm-hmm. and you needed a trip. I was like, "Come to LA." I was like, "I will take you out. We will show you a good time."
That was I needed that. It was so good. You guys took really good care of me. I was like really nervous. I was like, I've never been to LA. Like, what am I gonna do and whatever. And I don't know if you remember the story I told you how when I didn't have my hotel room and I had to like spend the night somewhere else. Like,
oh my god, yeah. So wait, you landed. Tell me that story. You landed late.
Yeah. So I landed earlier than I anticipated. And my room wasn't ready. Usually with hotels, like if they'll make an exception, sometimes they'll check you in early if they have the room available. But I got there way earlier than I anticipated. And I was like, oh, let me see if that can work. And it was like, we don't have the room ready at all. So you'll have to check in at your normal time. And I was like, crap. So at this point, I was on Grindr. For those of you who don't know what Grindr is, everybody should know.
Everyone knows what Grindr is.
But hookup app. And, you know.
So no one's even calling it a dating app anymore. They're just straight hookup app. Was it ever known as a dating app or always a hookup app?
For me, it was like if I was trying to use it for dating, but like I hooked up on it more than anything else.
The name implies that it's going to go a little bit.
A lot of grinding.
Yeah, I guess
going
it,
on.
Yeah.
Just like, it's not.
It is a little dirty.
What's the other one that's kind of a big deal? They
Tinder?
Sell it to that you delete. No, not Tinder.
Oh, Hinge.
Hinge is a little bit more like you're looking for the person to get hooked to, you know, for a minute.
Yeah.
Grindr's like just Grindr. In the name.
Yeah.
We might see each other again. We might not.
Yeah.
Probably not. Probably not. But I was like, holy crap, well, I can't just sleep on the couch at this hostel or whatever. I'm like, okay, well, maybe, you know, I can like spend the night with some hookup or whatever. But like, I can't be like, hey, can I spend the night with you if we hadn't have sex? I was like, you know, a little like subtle about it. And this one guy hit me up. He was a ginger, which was like, I have a thing for ginger. So it was like,
do you?
I do. I do like gingers. I do like the soulless people. But he was just hitting me up. He's like, hey, you want to come over? I'm just like, not right now. You know, my room's not ready and I have my things here. Like, I'm really tired and X, Y, and Z. He's like, well, you could come and spend the night here and like we can hang out and stuff like that. I was like, are you sure? I'd hate to impose on you.
Like, you're so delicate.
I was like, yeah, like a flower. And he probably thought I was like, he wasn't aware of my height either because I don't put my height on Grindr.
Yeah.
Like,
if you showed up, and were 7 feet tall and you were in my home and let's say you weren't a sweet guy, I would be like, oh, I'm getting murdered tonight. Like, this is, and there's no way out of it.
Like what do you mean if I
but meaning just because of your size, it's like there's no way. Like, if you weren't a good guy, for example, like if they're I've gone on dates with guys I could tell were like creepy or something.
Yeah.
You know, you just, or they're like moody or mean to waiters or whatever, and it's like in no way in my brain could I
see
take
me.
You down.
Oh, like, no. You could.
No, I could not.
No, not at all.
This was proven to me last night when I was trying to show Greg and his friend, Lazy John, what I learned in self-defense.
Oh,
and
God.
And Lazy actually gripped my arm as hard as he possibly could.
By request of Rachel.
Oh, yeah. No. I did, because I was like,
was
I can get out of it. I learned this. And you break the plane of the hand. I could not get out of it. It was actually terrifying.
Rachel's strutting her stuff, being like, oh, I've got all these moves. I was trained by, you know, a former black belt, whatever it may have been. And then John quickly he's also like a state champion wrestler. So he put her in some sort of grab. He's like, if a guy comes up and does this, you'll never be able to break free. And which is true. I don't think any human being could probably break free from Lazy John's grasp.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody would want to. Lazy John is very charming.
Exactly.
Ooh. Good to him. Okay.
I'm hoping she wasn't just letting him hold on to her.
Oh, yeah. Anyways, okay. So you go over to this guy's house.
Yeah. So I go over there and we make out a little bit, which wasn't, you know, he kept sticking his tongue in my mouth. And like, I had to grab his face and say, you're using way too much tongue. And he's like, I have my hands on his seat. He's like, I'm sorry. So I let him go and like, we continue. And then like, we didn't like have sex, whatever, but I fell asleep and I woke up at 10 and I brushed my teeth and everything. Like, nothing had happened. He's like, okay, I'll see you around. I'm like, yeah, sure. And yeah.
Well, you're also lucky he was a nice guy. Cause what if that was like a real awkward situation and then you did not have anywhere to, would you just go on Grindr again and be like, is there anyone else in the area?
Probably. Yeah. Honestly, because I did not want to.
Also,
why didn't you
just call me?
Well, I didn't even pop into my head because I think it was like early in the morning, so I thought you were just asleep, or I didn't want to like bother you either. I was like, no, this is fine, and I totally do it. And at that point, I wasn't even like, I was close to you, but I didn't want to impose.
Yeah.
So you know,
how
like,
polite
like,
and nice.
I try.
Feel free to impose from this point forward.
Okay.
Now
yeah.
That you've come here,
yeah.
Like
yeah.
You've got an open door policy anywhere we're at.
All right. Cool. I just need to drive like 3 hours to like get the hospitality I need.
Is this the hospitality you need here?
This was no. This is. I love this. I really love this. I wish we could like do an add a video to it, but it wouldn't be, I don't think it'd be a podcast anymore.
I know. It is beautiful. Well, follow me on Instagram at Rachel, RachelNobrien, reads like Rachel Nobrien, and you'll see how beautiful this area is. All your land is beautiful, Greg.
Well, thank you.
Technically God's land. You didn't create it.
Just she's, purchased it.
She's not wrong.
Just on okay. lease from God.
All right. This episode of Be Here for a While is brought to you by Magic Spoon. Growing up, cereal was one of the best parts of being a kid. But I had to give it up because of all the sugar and junk they put in it. Well, between that and the plates of nachos after school, I was quickly becoming quite the chunkster. But now, Magic Spoon has provided me with the nostalgia and deliciousness of their cereal without me bursting out of my crop top homecoming dress. Yes, you heard that correctly. 60 pounds overweight, crop top homecoming dress. Jealous? But Magic Spoon cereal is actually good for you. It has 0 grams of sugar, 11 grams of protein, and only 3 net grams of carbs in each serving. The 4 flavors I've tried are cocoa, fruity, frosted, and blueberry. It's honestly tastes so amazing. It's like too good to be true. And it's keto friendly, gluten free, grain free, soy free, low carb, and GMO free. I'm personally loving the cocoa flavor the most because it's chocolate goodness with zero guilt. Sign me up. So I think you guys should try Magic Spoon. What do you have to lose? Go to magicspoon.com/beHere to grab a variety pack and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code BeHere at checkout to get free shipping. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. That's magicspoon.com/beHere and use the code BeHere for free shipping. We thank Magic Spoon for sponsoring this podcast. Okay, so let's get into like the questions I plan, like the nitty gritty stuff, because I realized that there was so much more to you than just like being one of the most gorgeous humans ever, first of all.
Ooh, okay.
Greg and I think you could be a movie star. Whatever. We'll make it happen.
No, you could be a movie star.
Yeah. But being one of the most gorgeous humans on the outside, but also on the inside, like so, so bubbly, so full of life, that when you sent me your short story that was somewhat based on true events, I was very surprised and naively, because I know better than that, you know, just because someone puts on a happy face doesn't mean that they're always happy.
Yeah.
And they don't struggle. But like, I was so surprised that one of the most beautiful humans I know doesn't always feel great about themselves.
No. It was that was a story I had in my head for about 5 to 6 years. And I just didn't know how to put pen to paper with it. Mm-hmm. Again, I just had, there's a song that I would play that would help me express it. And like, when I usually don't cry.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it takes a lot for me to cry. Like, I literally have to like go into the shower, play a sad song, and then I'll start crying. And that's my form of catharsis for the year. Like,
mm-hmm.
Because I'm usually just trying to be as happy go lucky as I possibly can, like, and try to like be as positive as I can.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of bury negative emotions. But after a while, that's kind of overwhelms me. So I have to like, I would literally have to go to the shower and like put on the song that helps me just like cry, like just break down and cry. Mm-hmm. And it helped, like, I'm usually in the shower for like 20 minutes. Like, I don't even like, I have to cry first, and then I clean myself off. I'm like, okay, this never happened. Awesome, this is great. I clean myself. It never happened. And
good place to do it.
And it's not even like, it's not even because I'm afraid to like cry or anything like that. Like, if I'll express myself and I feel it, but it's literally one of the hardest things for me to do is just like to mm-hmm. like express my sorrow.
Yeah.
Because I'm always so happy. It used to be once a year I'd break down and cry, but mm-hmm. now it's like 2 or 3 times now, and I'm just like,
is it you?
I know, but it's not. It's
you're
not,
just an emotional basket case at this
now,
point.
No, exactly, but I think it's just getting to the point where it's becoming harder for me to like contain it
mm-hmm.
or bury it down. And I don't know, when the pandemic hit, I was like, you know what, like, this is a story I want to share with people, and it's going to be good for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I literally had to, like, I cried while I was writing it, because I had to play the song that helped me get through everything and, like, build it up.
Mm-hmm.
So,
what song was it written to?
It's actually a Japanese song. So, like, it's really soft, but it has a nice rhythm. It builds up and it just slows down.
You have to send it to me.
I will.
I'll put it in the episode as you were describing.
Yeah, ooh. Well, I'll definitely send it to you. It's from an anime.
Was your difficult time that is, you know, loosely depicted in your story based on your difficulty in coming out and how your family handled it? Like, what is your source of main source of pain, I guess?
Main source of pain. I suppose the main source of pain would be knowing that the people closest to me, like my family, like my closest, like my grandparents and my aunt, that's kind of like, that would be my core family, honestly. Like, mm-hmm. I grew up with my mom for 16 years, but I was with them for about 5 years on and off with 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
But I learned so much. I developed so much. I gained so much from my interactions with them, and I learned so much about myself and just who I was and who they were, I guess, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're like my core family. I wouldn't be who I am today without them.
Yeah.
You know? So they're like my core group. And in my story, I put in there, because it's true, like, you know, they gave me, I've always wanted the opportunity to love somebody, like, unconditionally, and they gave me that opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
However, they denied me the ability to freely express myself,
mm-hmm.
at the cost, you know? And
is it a religious thing? Like, so they just don't, do they not believe in homosexuality? Like, what is?
It's a religious thing. It's a cultural thing. My family's Jamaican. Like, mm-hmm. my family's, like, I'm a first generation America. So, America. I'm a first generation.
I am America.
I am America. But I'm a first generation American, so like the generation before previously is from Jamaica. My mom's from Westmoreland and my dad's from Kingston.
Mm-hmm.
My mom and dad didn't actually meet until they met in Florida. They didn't meet in Jamaica, they met in Florida.
Okay.
So it just by happenstance, both of my parents are Jamaican, so I'm lucky.
Mm-hmm. Purebred.
Purebred, yes. With barely, like I'm losing my culture as we speak though. Like, but I was very fortunate to have them, and with them, like, it wasn't, like, more so, like, religious or, it was religious and cultural, because, like, you think there's racial, like, not racial slurs, but homophobic slurs, mm-hmm. in America. They have so many in Jamaica.
Oh, so it's not widely accepted there
no,
at all?
No, not at all. They do not
Still.
Want you. No, like,
wow.
They have so many racial, like, they have so many, I keep saying racial, they have so many homophobic slurs
yeah.
In Jamaica for it. Like, even growing up, that's all I hear about. It's like, homosexuality is awful, da-da-da. And my grandfather was like, it's an abomination to the Lord. And it was kind of wow. tough to grow up and with that, because, you know, I strive to be as perfect as I possibly could.
Mm-hmm.
There's even my senior year in high school, they were calling me Baby Jesus, because I was like, you know, I was I read my Bible every night, I was leading the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, because I also played football.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like on fire for God, and like, you know,
on fire for God.
That's what they call it, on fire for God. and it was like, you know, things would be going
Hot
so
for Jesus.
Well.
Sorry,
Jesus, yeah. things would be going so well in my life. Like, you know, I have good grades. I'm speaking in the morning on announcements. Like, had words of wisdom where I'd like quote mm-hmm. somebody and tell them what they mean. And things would be going so well. And then in the back of my head, it would just say, hey, don't forget, you're gay. Mm-hmm. So your life isn't great for you.
Were you still in the closet at that point?
Oh, yes. Very much so. Very, very, very deep in the closet. I couldn't even see any light yeah. at all. So deep, like wearing dresses and everything. That's how deep in the closet I was.
Yeah.
But yeah, and it was tough because I had moments where I would literally pray. I used to pray for like 45 minutes to an hour each mm-hmm. night. And within that prayer, I would pray, like, I'd pray for the world and everything, but I also pray for myself and say, hey, like, you know, can you help me with this? Like, what can I do about this? Pray the gay away is what they call it.
Yeah.
I tried mm-hmm. to pray the gay away. And, you know, it just didn't
that
work out
that way.
That
breaks my heart.
It's sad.
I wish that would change. Like, that's kind of the subject of the next Seven Deadly Sinners episode, where, like, I mean, this pastor's kind of annoying, but, like, I just want to be like, just be gay. It's fine. Don't think you have to pray it away or get all this EMDR therapy. Like, that's what he was like. Just go for it. Listen.
And that's the saddest thing,
the world's
too.
A different place now. I mean, it's not 100% great still, obviously, but no one.
Well, it depends on where you are, honestly.
True.
Because, like, in, like, Alabama, Birmingham, Alabama is, like, where I kind of, like, accepted myself, uh-huh. which is crazy because it's still
yeah,
like,
of all places,
of
yeah.
all places. But it yeah. was probably only liberal place I could accept myself. I actually got into a fall. I fell out with my grandparents because
uh-huh.
it was some asinine argument. It's mm-hmm. it's incidental. It didn't even matter.
Unrelated to you coming out.
No, it wasn't related to me coming out. I was supposed to go down there and drop off my car. Like, it was their car. Uh-huh. But, like, I was supposed to go down there for a spring break or whatever, drop off a car or whatever. And I didn't... They were saying, when was my spring break? I said, it's going to be this week, whatever. And they're like, well, how are you going to come down here? How are we supposed to fix a car or whatever if you're not doing this? I'm like, oh, well, I thought we were doing this. And my grandfather got mad. He's like, how could you think this? And da-da-da. And I was just like... Oh my God, I don't. And he's like, fine, you want to stay up there? Then stay up there with the car. And I just, and in my head, I'm just like, yeah, I was like, what are we arguing about? Like, I'm just confused. And my grandma called me back, and it was just like, this is like a cycle. He would get upset sometimes and just yell at me and whatever, mm-hmm. instead of saying, this is what I wanted from you. This is what I wanted you to do, and have like a civil discourse. Mm-hmm. And my grandma would have to call and say, hey, this is what your grandfather meant, and X, Y, and Z. And I said, well, why didn't you just say that? Okay, I'll come down there with the car. It's totally fine. It's not that big of a deal. I'm not. I don't have anything planned for my spring break.
Yeah.
I have no life. Okay, it's fine.
My life is Jesus.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I was in college at that point, so yeah. It was like I kind of like stepped away from that. I stepped away from that, and because I was like, I mean,
I was in college.
Yeah. I was. I literally had guys driving from Atlanta to come like. See me.
Good.
I was at the Shticks, so it was like they're driving like an hour or so to come see me.
So at what point did you come out to them, and how did that go?
I never came out to them. I just
You did tell me that.
I just accepted myself as a raging homosexual who likes to fondle penises. well, not fondle. I don't do that.
But they must know. They must know it just goes undiscussed.
I feel like they suspect it, and we just don't talk about it. Because when me moving out here to Colorado, that was a huge ordeal. I don't even talk to my grandfather anymore. Like, I haven't spoken to him like in over a year, if not 2 years at least. But I just accept in Birmingham, Alabama. After I went through the whole thing with the car, the spring break thing, mm-hmm. and we had another argument about because he tried to call me, and I didn't answer the phone. I just like I don't mind. Like, I don't you texted me. We resolved it. I'm fine. I just want to chill out and like cool mm-hmm. off because this whole thing could have been resolved if you just told me what you wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Like one of the things that bothered me about our relationship is that he's the only person I've ever put on a pedestal. My grandfather is like literally like. Someone could say you'll learn things about him, you'll hate him, but like for me he will always be on the pedestal, even mm-hmm. though he's on a pedestal on the back burner.
Yeah.
But he's the greatest person I've ever known.
Really?
Literally, he's a Renaissance man. Like I just saw you and your father fix, like my grandfather could do things like this as well. And
I hope you guys reconnect. I mean
probably not.
No, because think about it though. Like at some point he's getting older.
60s, in his late 60s maybe.
God, that makes you so young. I mean,
yeah, my mom had me at 18, so yeah.
Yeah, but you're also almost 10 years younger than me, so let's not talk about it, though.
Let's not think about it.
But I feel like you'll come around and he'll come around. Like, you'll regret not being close with him, you know. But at late 60s, he's got some time in him left.
Yeah, he's not going anywhere for a while. He's very healthy, and as he says, he likes to get frisky, which means he likes to work around the house and everything. He's always busy.
That's the weirdest, funniest term for that.
Some of the craziest things
that
ever.
That means something sexual, and then you were like, no, working around the house.
No, my grand, like one of the things, like he'll say some, he says some outlandish things, but it's like. Like he said some outlandish things to me. I remember last year he told me because I want to be a psychiatrist. He said mm-hmm. medical school was never in your future. You lack the ambition, determination, and you aren't that intelligent. I suggest that you buy some more miniskirts, get a degree in hospitality, and keep on twerking.
What?
Yeah, I have it saved on my phone.
Holy
and
crap!
I mean,
that is a deep dig.
He's the type to. Like try to motivate you by cutting you down.
Oh, this wasn't motivation. I know when he's like this. He was literally just he would text
give it to
me
you straight.
He was he's just trying to like jab at me and like hopefully I would respond. I just ignore him. It hurt me a lot.
That
like,
is really hurtful.
It was because he was like the main person in my corner supporting me to do things, and now he's just.
I also completely disagree with him. I think you are a very introspective person who would be great in psychology. I think you seem incredibly intelligent and very well versed in
only on Thursdays.
Reading human emotions.
Only on Thursdays.
Only on Thursdays.
On my days off.
Which is today.
Yep. Drove all the way down here for you. Gosh, I love you so much.
I love you.
But yeah, so he and I just, we had a falling out, and he supported me for my move to Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
And my aunt got into his ear, and she was saying, you shouldn't support this. Like, he didn't do things the way we should do things. And his support turned into, like, animosity, and it just ruined everything. And I didn't talk to my aunt for a while because she kind of ruined that. She mm-hmm. brought her own personal feelings into it because I didn't tell her I was moving to Colorado to go to school. Mm-hmm. And it was just tough. It was really tough. But I was glad I was glad for those moments. And when I was in Alabama, where I had to bring the car back because after everything happened, he said he was going to cut me off, essentially, mm-hmm. before I even moved to Colorado. And I said, I can't be at the mercy of somebody so temperamental and toxic.
Yeah, that's really bad for your mental health, like, yeah. where you don't ever know where you stand.
Exactly. And what led to me even bringing the car back down there was he tried calling me, and I didn't answer the phone. Mm-hmm. And he ended up leaving a voicemail saying, like, I know you're not sleeping. You're ignoring my phone calls on purpose. You're being disrespectful. Looks like I'm going to have to, like, part companies with you. And I was just like, I could be getting assaulted. I could be at the store. Mm-hmm. I could have anything, a list of anything. He's right. I was ignoring his phone call. But the case in point is anything else could have happened. And the first thing you go to is that, and you want to cut me off of that. Mm-hmm. And I basically dropped the car off at his place in Georgia. And my best friend Carson at the time drove down there with me. And I dropped my car off. I got some things from their house, and I got back in Carson's car. We drove right back to Alabama.
Wow.
And Grant, we didn't talk for a little bit, and they made a big deal about how I dropped the car off, and I left them a note. And I left them a note saying, "Hi, Grandma and Grandpa. Here's the keys to the car. I'm going back to Alabama. Bye.
Peace."
Mm. And I left the keys there, and they called me and said, "Andre, why didn't you stay or whatever?" And I said, Grandpa just said he's done with me,
yeah,
and whatever. Why would I even think about staying there?" Uh-huh. And they said, "I was like, well, why did you?" Well, and my grandfather was just like, "Well, if you thought that, why didn't you bring your clothes? Or did you grab your clothes if you thought I was done with you?" I'm like, "I don't need the clothes. I have clothes up here. I can always buy more. I didn't mm-hmm. need anything." And my grandma was like, "And you also didn't say good evening on the note you left." I said, "Like, what?
Wow.
What are you
saying?" The perfectionism.
Yes. It's like, "You did not even say good evening, Grandma, Grandpa." Yeah. It's just like, "Hi, Grandma and Grandpa."
Wow.
And I'm like, "It's a note." But I'm like, "Okay, cool." And wow. we ended up talking a little bit here and there, and I told them I was planning on moving to Colorado, and they were, like, surprised. And I said, "Why are you surprised? I wasn't going to go back to Georgia mm-hmm. after all this." And in the interim of that, I kind of, like, I was on Grindr, and I was going through all the stuff, and I was like, because I didn't have my face on there. Mm-hmm. Like, I hid my face, and I said, "I don't care anymore. Like, I'm gay. I like guys. I've been doing this for too long. I'm not going to, like, I just put my face on there, and that was me coming out. Me putting my face on Grindr was me coming out
to the world.
And because I don't believe in announcing your sexuality to the world. Like, I'm just like, "Hey, guys, just so you know, I'm not following the social norms. I've decided to be gay instead."
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I just feel like you'll see my lifestyle and you'll know. I don't have to announce it to the world. I kind of hate that we have to.
Now, what?
I like
that
approach.
Yeah. What?
Thank you, Greg.
What gave you the bravery and strength to just be like, was it that you had hid it for so long that you were just like, "Fuck it"? Or was it like maybe even just interaction with your grandparents? What gave you the brave and strength to A, come out, and B, make a big move from the South all the way to Colorado?
The first thing you said was just me hiding it for so long. It got so frustrating because, like, mm-hmm. I'm sleeping around with these people. I'm living the secret. I'm living this double life, and I was already going to gay clubs and everything, so I already got some exposure.
Mm-hmm.
So I was going to gay clubs, but I was also I was also playing basketball, so I was also an athlete. So I, like, you know, I was having this double life, and you know me, I try to be as authentic as possible, and I mm-hmm. wasn't living my authentic. I wasn't being my most authentic self, and
"This is so bad for your psyche, like, where you don't feel." Yeah,
it was so awful because I had gay best friends, and they would talk to me about it, and they're like, "Andre, nobody really cares, honestly. Just be yourself." I'm just like, "I have family, I have this, I have this." And it got to the point where it boiled up. I said, "You know what, whatever." And I was on my school campus, and I had my face on Jacked and Grindr or whatever. And
Jacked
is another gay one. Yeah.
Fuck. His name couldn't be less subtle.
I'm so sorry.
Jacked.
I was like,
"Do you want to get jacked or are you jacked?
Are you jacked?" Yeah. Jacked was actually the first one I downloaded. Jacked before Grindr. But I just accepted myself, and
did you feel peace?
Oh yes. And I was just like, "This is college. Like, there's a whole world out there." And if I'm getting ready to leave the school anyway, if my teammates know, they know. If they don't, they don't. It's not my business. They just better not put their hands on me. Mm-hmm. So, and we'll be fine.
Yeah.
So
again, I don't know who would think that they could take you down. So
there's always someone who's willing to try. But like, that was one of the things. I'm just like, as long as you don't put your hands on me, we're fine.
Yeah.
And I just came out, and it was so much healthier because like I had people who were in the closet, and they would talk to me, and I didn't have anything to hide. I was like, this is who I am, and like you have no power over me like, at all.
What advice would you give for any of my listeners, or I mean anyone who might be struggling with like deciding whether to come out or not, or they have family members who totally don't approve and a culture that they're from that totally doesn't approve?
The main thing I would tell you is you have to be at peace with yourself first before you make any decision. Because if you're thinking the decision, you make that decision and it changes everything, then you're going to be in for a rude awakening. Because if you haven't accepted yourself and you haven't decided to love yourself through that, then it's going to suck.
That's really good advice. It actually could apply to anything. Like, basically be so right with yourself that you can take any jab anyone's going to give you after that.
Yep.
Yeah,
it was because I just did it, and I just said, fuck it, what are they going to do? Like, I'm not going to be here. Like, this is not my life. I have so many, there's so many. And you also realize that you have so many avenues that you can take. It's your life. Like, you have plenty of resources. You don't have to stay where you are. Mm-hmm. Like, don't let family or people who are toxic to you, like, keep you from living your most authentic life.
Yeah, like, it might be uncomfortable for a little bit, but that uncomfortability is so worth the peace you'll get later.
When I first came out and I, like, came to Colorado, like, I kind of struggled saying I was gay. I was open about it, but I wasn't even saying, like, I'm gay. Like, people would ask me, like, are you gay? I'd be like, you know, but I just had to put like, yes I'm gay and like, you know, finger snapping with it as well.
They got more fierce with it.
Yeah, super fierce. They called me Saunter and Sauce for a while.
That's awesome.
Saunter and Sauce.
That
Saunter
and Sauce.
I used to say that all the time, but like now I probably outgrown it, but I used to say
that. Might be the podcast episode title. Saunter and Sauce with Andre.
Saunter and Sauce. Yeah, but it was tough, but I got after a while, like, I had my Carson and I moved out here. He's my best friend, and I was like interacting with people. I didn't go on any dates when I first moved out here, though. Like, I was still out, but I didn't feel nothing. I just felt comfortable with myself. And after a while, it just went really well, and I was just like very comfortable with it. And people accepted me for who I was, and if they didn't, then I didn't have to see them ever again.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. So moving on to, I love that. I love all of that. Didn't mean to cut you off, but you're totally fine. I want to go into another.
Just don't
subject.
Cut me.
Okay, so considering everything that's obviously going on with Black Lives Matter, and that it's incredibly insane that we're still doesn't seem any better than it did in the 50s. Like, it's...
Yeah, it's...
What do you find being a gay black man very difficult? And then I also just realized this would be an instance where African American certainly doesn't apply to you, because you're not from Africa, you're from Jamaica.
Well, yeah, my family's from Jamaica, but I'm an American, so
I know, but you're not.
Yeah,
like, because I always wonder, like, some people do, what do you prefer, black or African American?
I honestly, doesn't matter, as long as you're not like disrespecting me, it's totally fine.
I'm just devilishly handsome.
I know. Perfect.
Greg, stop. Please, I might still
Wait,
I'm still in the
way. Are you into Andre? Honestly, I wouldn't blame you. I'm in Andre.
Oh.
But
a little love triangle going on.
Okay, so you covered that part, but do you find is it a whole nother level of difficulty being a gay black man?
It can be pretty stressful, because one thing I've realized, it's crazy. As a gay man, as a gay black man, I have to deal with racism and being fetishized in the gay community.
Isn't that interesting? I want you to go into that, because I asked him earlier a question.
It's so conflicting. And then if the black community, I would have to deal with homophobia. And it's crazy. So, like, you know, and I'm supposed to be, and like, I'm an Aquarius, so I'm a humanitarian. So for me to try to be a proponent for both of these things that are against me, it is so insane. It is really hard. And I had to talk to Carson about it, because after the George Floyd thing happened, you see it every year, you see it every so often, and like, I couldn't watch it. I brought myself to finally watch it, and I don't know if you ever watched Blue's Clues. I just want to, like, if you watch Blue's Clues, there's this thing where they call the Blue's Skidoo, and you can just jump into pictures and jump into TV frames.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
I wanted Blue's Skidoo into that fucking phone and beat his ass. I was so upset.
Yeah.
It was so upsetting.
I purposely tried not to watch it. And then it just came up on Instagram.
It would make me so mad. I've seen enough brutality.
It's tough. It is literally tough.
It came up on Instagram, and I couldn't avoid it. It was like, just like, and then I just was like, I was already in it. I probably cried for like 3 hours. Like, I felt, I was, there's just something so,
it was very cold.
I knew I wouldn't have been able to handle it, and I couldn't handle it.
It was very tough for me.
I'm sure it's tougher for you. I mean,
My pain is greater than yours, Rachel. No, but I'm just saying it's a tough video to watch. If you have any type of humanity, so you don't have to be black or white. If you have any type of humanity, you're seeing another human being murdered on camera.
It's just so ugly. And I hated that then they tried to like blame it on like, oh, well, he was, you know, he was a drug user. He was on fentanyl or whatever. Yep. I'm like, I want to be like, I would be willing to bet some of those cops take some over-the-counter, like Vicodin or something. Like,
they do. And it's not like, their position to do anything other than civilly arrest the man if he was committing a crime.
Also, some of the coolest, greatest people I know are recovered addicts. Yeah. Like, or people that even slip in and out of addiction because they're actually just, they're owning their faults. Like, it's so disturbing. But can you explain to me, like, what does being fetishized mean? I mean, I can kind of guess. Like,
yeah, so, like, I was like, you know, fetishized, like, you know, like, you're not looking at me as a human being. You're looking at me as what I can do for you type of idea. It's like, or to experience something.
Mm-hmm.
You're just trying to use me and then kind of throw me away. Like, because you don't like me for who I am. I like you because you're black. Type of thing, like, you like, he's like, oh, he's tall, he's black. It's like, okay, well, what about what
does
else?
Does that seem almost more superficial than racism, the fetishism? Because it's like they want to be cozy with you, but they're also not trying to.
I feel like fetishism and racism can go hand in hand.
I agree with you, and I actually
that's a great point.
I just thought of something that I had never thought about before, where even if you're not like you're such a like specific. Anomaly of a person, like, super tall. I mean, how rare is it to be close to 7 feet tall? You know, black and whatever that implies, I'm sure, with the whole fetishism thing. But even just like a not super tall black guy, I'm realizing like I've had a lot of friends that only date black guys. It is almost like a, where it's like, oh, she likes black guys. It is like a, even just in a general way, it's like fetishizing just your race. It's not just like, oh, she likes guys, like, meaning it has to be brought up.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it can't just be like, oh, so-and-so dated this guy and he did this job or this guy, whatever. It's like, oh, yeah, it's the black guy she dated. Like, do you know what I mean? I'm trying to explain it in a way that it's not.
I mean, I...
Because no one would say, oh, she likes white guys.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like, yeah, exactly. She only dates white guys. Like, she's white, of course.
Yeah.
I feel like people, like, get preferences and fetishization mixed up.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's a line to walk. It's a very thin line to walk.
Yeah.
Because I don't think there's anything wrong with preferring somebody else. But
sorry, I find it fascinating that your dad, even when he's not around us, can't not make noise. Hilarious.
And my old man just drove by on a four-wheeler.
Greg and his dad both have super loud voices, just FYI for my listeners. And so I knew, like, all right, we should go, because his dad has a house on the ranch, too. I was like, we got to go record up at Greg's house.
The container.
Because, because
container home,
so
studio.
So his dad doesn't, like, talk during it. And I just find it hilarious that even... In Escape, he's riding the four-wheeler by us. Yep.
Mm-hmm. There is no exit strategy.
Yeah.
He's got to be a part of the mix. He wanted to see what was going on.
Yeah. Anyways, so...
Making sure you're taking care of Greg, basically.
Exactly.
So, were you saying that the confusing...
There's a difference between preferences and fetishes.
Yeah.
Yes. So, like, if some, like... it's so hard to express.
It's
kind of
when
now. You
take a preference too far. I think it becomes a fetish. Where
exactly.
Yeah, that's
a preference.
Way to put it.
It's like, I prefer, you know.
Yeah, but you're still willing to dive into something else.
You see the other
else.
Things, and
exactly.
You also, I think, with a preference, it's like personality is still first.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer to be tall and blonde, but I really want a good personality.
Exactly.
The fetish is like,
They all,
I'm addicted.
Matter.
I'm
yeah.
drug addicted. I yeah. want. It's got to be
tall. He's
tall
and black.
And
I want
handsome.
Him now.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's not about your personality. It's about you physically more than anything else. In that.
Yeah.
Probably the most uncomfortable thing I've heard is when people say I will climb you like a tree. And I said, and I was like,
that scares me.
Well,
that
not even that. Like, that's
scared.
Uncomfortable. Like, are you going to, like, step on my arm and my leg to get to my head? Like, what's going on? And
that makes you more of an object than a
exactly.
person. Yeah.
And my friend Haley said that to me, too. But, like, she's a girl. So, like, she doesn't even meet. I know her. So, I know how she means it. She's just being funny. Mm-hmm. But most guys are just like, I would climb you like a tree. And I said, have you climbed a tree before? It's very aggressive and rough. I'm not going to have you put your foot on me.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
Hilarious.
But yeah, I think preferences, let's like, for me, like I prefer guys who like are muscular or in shape. At this point I prefer white guys. I have a preference for white guys, but I've dated that came from me trying to date and be with black guys and them being so unavailable for me. You know, does that make sense?
Why were they unavailable?
Because they're either in the closet or I wasn't their type.
Oh, I see.
It's literally kind of crazy. Like, and that's probably one of the biggest fears is like, because I'm talking to Michael. Michael's white, and it's one of the things I have to deal with is probably like, oh, you're dating why couldn't you date a black guy? And it's like, well,
so people like, do people in the black community say that?
Yeah. And it's kind of like it's one of those things where it's just like, well, tell them to come out the closet or tell them to like, you know, actually try and date me.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And it was one of those things where I got so close to being in a relationship with people who look like me, and then something like they either back out or they're afraid or I'm not what they want. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of like, it's very interesting. It's a very interesting dynamic.
Yeah.
So
have you ever experienced just like any like overt racism or discrimination in the workplace, in the school setting, in a dating setting? Well, it kind of sounds like you have in dating settings for sure.
Yes, but not too crazy. Probably one of the worst ones I had, where it was one when I was gay. I have two. One for me being black and then one for me being gay.
Mm-hmm.
One for me when I was black was a police officer was tailing me. Like, I was like, it was like 12 in the morning. He was just tailing me. I was in Alabama and he was just behind me and I was just driving and I was like, okay, he's still driving behind me. So I turned to put on my, as he's driving behind me for about 5 minutes, I put on my right indicator and get into the right lane. He puts on his right indicator, gets in the right lane, turns on his lights and like pulls me over after that. And I was like, okay, well, this is probably where I die. And he just comes to the window. And
what state?
Alabama.
Okay.
Alabama.
Yeah, even scarier now. The stakes.
Alabama.
Yeah, that's
the stakes
also what,
have raised.
That's exactly. Also what's so surprising when you were like, I felt like myself there. I'm like, that's
are you
the scariest place.
Of all
to
places.
Yeah.
But he said, you know, he pulled me over because he couldn't see my license plate. I'm like, it takes you 5 minutes to realize I don't have a license plate. And he says, okay, I just need your license registration. And I pull out my registration. And my license. So he says, okay, do you have proof of insurance? I was like, and at this point, it was my grandparents' car, mm-hmm. and they let me use it. And I couldn't bring up they have Geico, whatever. They had Geico, and I couldn't remember her login. I was trying to type it in, and he says, okay, well, if you can't get the login, I'm gonna have to write you a ticket. I said, well, proof of insurance. I was like, well, this is frustrating. He's like, well, you know, like you didn't have your license plate. I can't read your license plate. So I said, well, it's not my car. It's my grandparents' car. It's not my car. And he's like, as like really frustrated. I'm like, okay, fine. He's like, all right, get out of the car. I get out of the car. And he's like, follow me. Follow
Why
him.
Do you have to get out of the car in that scenario? That's what I don't understand.
It was one of those
Why
things.
Why do you have to get out?
I think it was just one of those things. I was like, he just told me to follow. Whatever he said, I just did. And he's like, look at the license plate. And I said, okay. He's like, it's really hard to read it. And I said, I know, but it's not my car. It's my grandparents. But I'll get it teared off or whatever. And he says, okay, if you like, once you get your proof of insurance, if you could find it, you could always get this ticket board. And I'm like, okay, fine, whatever. And he's like, okay, tell you what. He's like, get back in the car. I'm like, cool. He's like, close the door. I close the door and I believe he rips up the ticket or he just takes the ticket back and he's like, just call this a wash and just forget about it.
Oh.
And it was like, it was funny because as he said that, the login worked and I was like, oh, and I got the proof of insurance right here. So yeah. And he's like, okay, have a good night. I'm like, all right, thank you so much. And I drove home after that. And for me, it was one of those things where I was just like, that was a little, it was kind of like, it was like a racist moment for me.
Yeah.
At the same time, like,
But then he did let it go.
He let it go, but I was also like, I wasn't disrespectful. I was very compliant.
Yeah.
As well, but you know.
But also, why do you have to get out of the car? Well, yeah, like, he never asked you like, "Hey, have you been drinking or something?"
No,
and then
he just pulled
drunk,
me over because
he
couldn't.
I think he would try to argue his point. You know, he's just like, "I'm not just doing this because you're black. I want you look. Your license plate really is messed up. See, yeah. And I'll let you go. But you know, I'm not making a mistake here.
Yeah. I'm not a racist. Yeah,
I probably would have taken.
He was very calm and very. Like very cool about everything, and I think that's because I was as well, and I think he could just see my frustration with the whole scenario. But I think also he was just like a power move. He's like, "Get out the car, do this, and it's like, "Okay, do you want me like tap dance next? I have some shoes in the trunk too. If you want me to do that," but he let me go, and that was totally fine.
And then how about the
other one was more so gay charged. I was actually when I was in LA. It was one of his older friends. He was like, he kept like talking to me. He's like, oh, you're cute, whatever, blah, blah, blah. He's like, whatever, nobody likes the black guys anyway. And like, he'd come back to me, flirt with me, and I'd be laughing, and I'd be listening to him, and he's like, whatever. And then he'd scoff and whatever.
And he said, nobody likes black guys anyway?
Yeah, he's like, nobody likes black guys anyway. And it was one of those things where I was just like, I was sitting there, I was like, let me see
let me bring it back to just your size.
Yeah.
Would be brave enough to
he just kept going back. If he'd come back, and like I was just watching him, I was laughing. I'm like, hey, I'm here. Like, but for me, it was like a point to see what I can endure and like how comfortable I am with a situation.
Yeah, which
like
is
this.
A weird control thing. It is kind of what the cop did too, where it's like, I'm gonna make you tap dance around all this stuff, and then this guy was like, what can I push him to?
And I didn't have any response. And he even said nobody like. Dates niggers or negroes or whatever. Like
he did not say that. Are you serious?
He did. And it was one of those things where I was just like,
I feel really embarrassed. Though.
I may know
this person by proxy. I don't think that.
It was one of those things where I was just like you're drunk. Like I'm gonna let this one go. Like it's totally fine. If it was any of my other friends,
he better not have said the N-word. Really,
he did. Whether he were like I don't know if he remembers it or not, but he did. And I was like, dude,
I'm like so embarrassed that
it's totally fine. It was one of those things where I just like it was one of those new moments for me. I was wanting to see how I would react to it. Because if it had been any of my other friends, I'm pretty sure they would have been like, yeah. So it was, that was,
I don't
that
know
was.
Why. I almost feel like crying. I feel really bad.
No,
right
don't
now.
Cry. Please don't cry.
I just feel really bad. Like, I
no,
feel embarrassed.
No, it was fine. And like, Zach was like, he just kept coming.
Zach would never do anything.
No,
like that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And I didn't want to tell him that because I was like, that's his friend and whatever. But like, it's some older dude. And they're talking over here. Yeah, and
that's
like,
that guy.
And yeah. He was. I don't know. It was one of those things where after it happened, I just said, like, you know, now I already know what kind of person he is.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say he's an awful. I don't think he's like an awful person. I think he was very drunk and very belligerent, and he just he would literally whisper in my ear. He's like, "I want you to want me," and da da da. And like,
he was just mad that you weren't into it.
Exactly.
You just pinned it down right there.
Yeah. So it was like, I he's saying whatever he can.
Like a child,
like,
then he had to act out.
Get a rise out of you.
Exactly. Yeah. And I was just like, sitting there, and I was like, okay, cool. And like, it was like anybody else would be like, this is disgusting, Andre. I would have hit him, or I would have done this. And I was like, it's fine. Like. It
he
was
live with himself feeling.
Yeah.
That's
so
stupid.
That's probably one of the worst ones I've had.
Great.
And
that was when you were in our city hanging out with our friends. Thanks.
No. I was like, so that's probably it. Other than that, it's been pretty smooth.
Well, because you are such a gentle, like, sweet
remarkable person.
Yeah, really. Aww. Like a really. Me, Sabrina, and Greg like instantly loved you. I thought he was placed there for us.
It was like,
I know.
Is this a movie? Are we on a set? Like, this guy's welcome. We go up to a room, there's champagne. He's already up there somehow, just ready to be our best
friend.
Well,
that's the thing. Because you guys were influencers, so they give us a card. It's like, hey, take care of them. Usually I'm just like, I don't fucking care about influencers. Like, if you're a good person, I'm nice to you. If you're not, you're not. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even know it was you. Like, it was you guys were you until I saw Sabrina. I was like, God, she's gorgeous. And if I was a straight man, she could probably still have my children.
She's also got the best personality in the world.
She's amazing. Oh,
yeah,
my God.
She really does.
Her. I love her so much. Well, like, I got to a point where Rachel was just like, Andre, I feel like you like Sabrina more than I do. I'm like,
I already know you do.
Well,
it's
Rachel,
okay.
You're not wrong.
I accept it.
But it was just one of those things. You guys seem very appreciative and grateful. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm going to do whatever I can for these guys. And I'm going to take really good care of them.
But now also we're all really good friends.
I know. You, like, it was, yeah.
We're a little family now.
I was, I'm just like, I'm like, guys, I finally have a famous friend. It's so nice.
Who's your famous friend?
It would be you.
Oh, like, I'm not. I'm certainly not.
You're the closest thing I have to a famous friend.
Okay, well,
like, yeah.
I'm certainly not.
I'm just like, yeah, I'm friend Rachel. She's a comedian and she's really funny. Do you have any funny friends? Don't think so.
I'm like,
are you funny? You're not? Okay, then. I don't think we can have a conversation.
I love
but
you.
But no, like, you guys left such a great impression. I mean, it was such a great trip in LA. That's why I sent you that message as well. And when I wrote that story, like, I wanted you guys to see it as well, because it was very close to my heart, and I thought you guys could, like, because you guys are kind of knew everything about me when I was going to LA and my reason for going there, and you guys took really good care of me, and I was like, yeah, I consider you guys like really good friends and like possibly best friends.
I love you. We are best friends.
And well, I said possibly because I'm gonna be like, I don't know, Andre. You haven't gotten that status yet. But
you
like,
what, you're like, I mean, you've come to the ranch.
I'm being contained right now.
There's friends I've
that?
Known for 20 years who haven't come this far
true,
for
true.
Me.
True.
They're just right over there.
Yeah, seriously. Well, Andre, thank you so much for doing this. I love you. Tell everyone your social handles if you want them to follow you.
My social handle, Instagram, is going to be not_AndreTheGiant. Clever, I know.
It is.
And then I guess if you want to find me on Facebook, it's just Andre Peterkin.
Mm-hmm.
Soon to be Saunter and Sauce.
Soon to be Saunter and Sauce.
I'm naming the podcast episode that. I think.
Saunter and Sauce.
Yeah.
I'll totally
it's a very good description. Like that.
Saunter
is.
And Sauce. Yeah. All right. Well, I love you. Thank you.
See you tomorrow.
Let's go eat some food. All right. Bye.
Yes,
bye.
Bye.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.